Let the church say amen. Amen. God has been good to us once again.
Amen.
God has blessed us. And if you don't think that you've been blessed, think of the alternative. And nobody likes to think of the alternative, but it's a must in order to know that we have been blessed. Let us thank God this morning that we are still here. Let us be eternally grateful to Him for leaving us here. Amen. Now we must continue on in the fight. And we must try to stay the course. And live the life that Jesus would have us to live. This morning, the scripture was read for your hearing from the 6th chapter of the book of John, starting in verse number 67 and continuing through verse number 69. Let us reread it. Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and we are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. This morning, for a few minutes, we're going to talk about to whom shall we go. But first of all, let us go to God and thank Him in prayer this morning. Dear Lord, our God and our Heavenly Father, thank You for the blessing of being here. Thank You for the blessing of everything that You do, all of the blessings that You do for us, O Lord. Thank You for leaving us here that we have one more opportunity to serve Thee in spirit and in truth. Father, thank You that You have given our lives an extension that we may go out and tell someone else about You, O Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You for the leaders of this congregation and thank You for the members of this congregation and their families as well. Thank You this morning, Father, for the sunshiny day that You have given us. Although it's partly sunshiny, we thank You nevertheless. We thank You for Your food, shelter, clothing, and everything that You do for us, O Lord. Father, as we approach this day and we come into this day, let us give our thanks to You continually throughout this day. Thank You, Father, that we have been blessed enough to be able to come out to Your house once again. Thank You, O Heavenly Father, for all the members in the church this morning. Thank You for those who may still be on their way, and we pray for those who did not make it this morning, O Lord, that they shall return at the next appointed time. Thank You, Father, for those who may be traveling, and we ask for traveling grace and arriving mercy on their behalf. Thank You, O Heavenly Father, for those who serve our every need, and thank You, Father, for giving us our and supplying our every need. Thank You for everything You do for us, Father. Father, we thank You that You sent Your Son down to this world to hang, bleed, and die on yonder's cross, that we may have a right to the tree of life. Thank You for everything, O Lord, and it's in the name of Your Son, Jesus, that we continue to pray and ask all of these and many other blessings. Let us all say, Amen. My voice is a little strained this morning, but please bear with me. In these times we live in, more and more are asking that age-old question, where can I go for help? And many have turned to the Word of God as a place of refuge. In today's text, Jesus asked His disciples a pressing question, a question that many today need to answer just as well as was answered back then. He asked the question, after seeing many turn away from Him, He directed this question to His disciples. He said, will you also go? The question is good for us today as well. Some in that crowd of that day were full of curiosity, perhaps. They just may have want, perhaps they just wanted to see Jesus. Not out of love and obedience for Him, but they were, He was some sort of a kind of a celebrity to them, and they wanted to see Him and be able to get up close and see what this man looked like. Mm-hmm. The world is changing, and I, for one, believe we need Him more than ever, than we have ever needed Him before. When man, in some cases, has run afoul of Christ, of God's Word, it is now time to go to God. It is the law in many states that it's okay now for people to carry and conceal a weapon. It is the law in most states that many have redefined the word in the act of marriage. It is the law in many states that parents can't give their children a good old-fashioned whipping. And above all, it is the law on the books that prayer has been taken off the school menu. To whom shall we go if we can't pray anymore in school? That's the question this morning before us. To whom shall we go? What can we do and where can we go? And I want you to watch the Bible this morning as we seek the answer. To whom can we go? So the first thing, the first issue that comes up is whom can we go to for salvation? The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 4 and verse number 12 that neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. No one else could have given us salvation. No one else could have saved us from our sin. And one thing we must learn to accept is the biblical doctrine that Christ died for our sins. If we are to be saved, we can't go back to the Old Testament and say that Moses' doctrine can save us. We can't go back into the New Testament and say John the Baptist can save us, because he can't. Peter can't save us. The only name under heaven that can save us is Jesus Christ. John admitted in Matthew chapter 3 and verse number 11, he said, I baptize you in water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Now, I may as tell you this while I can. There's but one way into heaven, and that is through Christ Jesus. He speaks of preparing a place for us. He speaks of preparing this place in John chapter 14. About verses number 1 through 6. And when you have time, you need to read that at home when you have your extra time. There are many different so-called religious beliefs out there today, but there is only one gospel, and it is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the gospel that Paul spoke of in Galatians when he finished it. He finished it off very nicely in Galatians chapter 1 and verse number 8. He said, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you, that which ye have preached unto you, let him be accursed. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the only gospel. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 5 says there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and then in verse number 6 it says, one God, one and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the only gospel. So then the question becomes, well, preacher, why are there so many different versions of religion being touted in the world today? Why are there so many different gospels? Well, there is only one gospel. There are many religious beliefs in the world. And I'll tell you why. That's man's way of trying to please men. That's man's way of trying to get the approval of men. So he comes up with something that's totally untrue and something that's false, because there is no other gospel. If we are not following God's word, and we are not following His gospel, then we are not following Him. And we can't be saved by any other gospel. No other way is there for us to be saved. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 12, he who has the Son has life, and he who does not have the Son of God does not have life. To whom shall we go? To whom shall we go for that salvation I spoke of, I was speaking of? We should go to Christ and no one else. And then when it comes to our security, God is great enough to keep us through His power. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 in the verses number 12, the Bible says, "Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day." When we go to Christ and we adhere to His gospel, we must be willing to stand on firm ground. And we must never be ashamed of that gospel, that same gospel. We must hold fast and remember God's promise. In John chapter 10, starting around verse number 28, verse number 27. Go with me, if you will, over to John chapter 10, starting around verse number 27. He says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them to me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." And I may as well add verse number 30, "And I and my Father are one." So Jesus, we are His sheep, and He knows us by name. In John chapter 10 and verse number 4, look back at verse number 4, if you will. "And when He put forth His own sheep, He goeth before them, and His sheep follow Him, for they know His voice."
Amen.
We know the voice of Jesus. And Jesus knows us. When dark times come our way, and I'll tell you something, just because you haven't had dark times right so far doesn't mean that they're not going to come, because they surely will. And if they haven't come as of yet, they will come. Job said in chapter 5 and verse number 7, "Yet man is born unto troubles." The only way man can avoid troubles is to never be born. Since we are already here, the best place we can go is to Christ.
Amen.
When our souls are in need of rest, He invites us to come unto Him. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 and verse number 29, He said He would give us rest unto our souls. Whether it's a deep darkness or simply a little trouble, God is able to weather the times, in times of distress, in times of sorrow, in times of poor health, or even in times of death. He is there and He will get us through. I know that the God that we serve is able to deliver us through and from it all. There was and there will never be a storm that God can't calm. Remember in Mark chapter 4, around about verse number 39, where Jesus was sleeping in the boat and somebody said, "Lord, don't you care if we perish, because a great storm has come up." And Jesus simply got up and called out to the wind and the sea, saying, "Peace, be still."
Amen.
If He can stop a great storm or stormy weather, what can He do for us in our times of storm? It's good to get to know Him. It's good to know to whom shall we go. Then, some people ask the question from time to time, how can we know if we can count on God and His Word? Well, in verse number 67 of John chapter 6, look what the Bible says in verse number 67. Then said Jesus unto the 12. He asked this question. He said, "Will ye also go away?" But then I like how Peter answered him, because Peter answered him with another question. Then Simon Peter answered him. He said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." In other words, if I go somewhere else, I won't get the words of eternal life. If I go somewhere else, I can't count on somebody to have the same words that you have. And I like how Peter approached the question. He didn't ask, where shall we go? He said, to whom shall we go? He knew already that there was nobody like Christ. So he said, to whom shall we go? You are the one, Lord. So I asked the question this morning, to whom shall we go? He answered that question with another question. It would be unwise, even foolish for us to leave everything and go to someone that has nothing, the nothingness of man, if you will. We would be leaving safety to return to a world of sin, a world in which we will surely destroy us. It's Jesus, and Jesus alone who can save us. And verse number 68, look at verse 68 again. Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Jesus has the words of eternal life, and we can count on Him for giving us those words of eternal life. Jesus and Jesus alone has those words. So the question becomes, how can we count on God? Can we count on God? Yes, we can count on Him because He is omnipotent, which means He is all-powerful. He is omnipresent, which means He is everywhere at all times. It means that God is full of power and full of grace and mercy and full of love, and He is there with it all of the time, holding it out for us. I tell you something. Sometimes we get to thinking that it doesn't make sense for me to give up everything to go to the Lord. Well, whom can you go if you don't go to the Lord? Who else but the Lord has the power to decree the sun to shine in the daytime and the moon and the stars to shine at night? Who else can decree the seasons to change? These things have been around since the beginning of time. We'll continue on. We can no longer see them. The seasons change. The days and the weeks change. But God and His Word will never change. In Malachi chapter 3 and verse number 6, the Bible says, for I am the Lord, I change not. To anybody waiting for the Lord, for the Word of God to change, I can tell you now, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Neither will Jesus change. He said in Matthew 28 and verse 20, I am with you always, even till the end of the world. So if any changes need to be made, it's us who needs to change. And somebody might ask the question this morning, well, how can I change? Well, if you're not living for the Lord, you need to start living for Him. If you're not living a righteous life, you can start by living a righteous life. And some of us sometimes are under the impression that I'm living all right now. But if you're not living the way Jesus said live, then you're not living all right. So if there are changes to be made, because I know that changes have already started coming to many of our bodies, I'm not talking about those changes. I'm talking about spiritual changes and soul changes. I'm talking about changes in your spirituality, because all of our bodies are going to change when we get older, as we age. There are changes in our body. They don't function like they used to. And I know that that's right. I know that my body doesn't function like I used to. I used to be able to walk fast and turn a corner. Now when I turn a corner, I'm reaching for something to hold on to. Just in case I go down, I want to have a little buffer there. When I get over in the bathtub, I'm looking for a wall to grab onto just in order to make sure that I can stay standing. And then when I get up out of the tub, I need the sides there in order that I may be able to get up. Because if I go down, sometimes it's hard to get back up without some support. Isn't that right, church? Oh, you don't have to say it. If you're getting older, I know it is right.
Right.
I used to be able to walk several blocks at a time. Now I walk in the malls every few days out of the week. And when I walk in the mall, I try to make sure that I can get enough walking going on. I met a lady at the health club a few weeks ago, and she told me, she said, "Baby, I'm 85 years old." She said, "I'm just trying to stay walking. So I come here almost every day out of the week," and she was getting around better than I can get around sometimes. So I tell you, these bodies are going to change. But thanks be to God, He has not changed. His grace has not changed. His mercy and His love is still bringing us through it. I remember reading in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 8, Jesus is the same yesterday and today and forever. So I ask you the question. Is it time that you make a change? Is it time for you to change? I know that there are many of us who don't want to admit to changes. We don't want to admit that these old bodies are wearing down. We don't want to admit that maybe I can still do what I used to. Don't fool yourself. Don't fool yourself into thinking you can still do what you used to do. You'll wind up having yourself laid out somewhere and somebody calling the paramedics to come get you up. So when I think about it, I think about how that Jesus, when He walked this earth, how that He taught the disciples and many others, and His words of teaching then are the same as they are now. The Bible may be reinterpreted, but the words are still the same. There's nothing new under the sun, somebody wrote in the Old Testament. The preacher wrote those words and he said, there's nothing new under the sun. And I tell you something, I'm finding out that there is nothing new under the sun. There is nothing new under the sun. We still wear clothes, we still need food, we still need air, and the blood still runs warm in our bodies as long as we're still here. The only thing that has changed, and it's not really a change, it's just that it's more of us now to share in those things. The world is bigger than it used to be. The world is more populated than it used to be. That's what I'm trying to say. But you just try it sometime. You just try it. If you don't believe that you have changed, go out there and walk down the street and watch the things that'll scare you now as you have aged. The things that you used to didn't even pay attention to, they're now frightening to you. You see how folk drive on the street these days. They make the rules as they drive along the street. And they dare you to say something to them now. Now, a tradition was passed yesterday. A tradition was brought forward again yesterday. The annual parade that we have in this town. But some clown somewhere decided, I'm going to do some shooting around this parade today. And somebody got shot. So things are changing. And if you want to be a part of the change, then you need to ask yourself this question. Am I changing for Jesus or am I changing for man? And if you're not changing for Jesus, then you need to reconsider the change that you're about to make. You need to ask yourself, why would I change for man? Man has no way to get me into heaven. Man can only teach me about getting to heaven. But it's Jesus who's going to have the final say-so. He is the righteous judge. He will be the righteous judge. And then, when you look at the matter of the Word of God, there's nothing better than the Word of God. And I like the fact that now there's no excuse for not reading the Bible anymore. Some used to say, well, I can't understand the words that are in the Bible. Well, they got interpretive versions now. Some used to say, well, I don't have time to read the Bible. Well, put it on a note and take it with you in your pocket, because they got small Bibles now. And you can ask the question and read the answer for yourself in God's Word. Some say the Bible just doesn't make sense to you. Well, let me ask you this. What does? If the Bible doesn't make any sense to you, what can we make of sense in this world in which we live today? Not much. Not much. So I ask this question also of you. As you age, as you are getting older, as you are getting on up there in your years, whom can you go to? Or whom shall you go to? Or whom will you go to? You know, the days are getting shorter now. And I know we don't like to talk about it, but it's coming. It's a tough thing to face. But it's coming. And you need to make sure that you are ready when it gets here, when your day comes. And I could understand some people if they had a choice in the matter. But you see, we have no choice in the matter. We don't know when the day nor the hour when it shall come our way, but it is coming. All you can do is get ready, be ready, and try to stay ready. When you ask yourself the question of all questions, whom shall I go to? Whom can I go to? Do you ask? Then you must ask yourself the two-pronged question of all. Do I want to go to heaven or do I want to go to hell? And you have a choice to make. There's a fork in the road that you must decide which way to go. If you go with Jesus, you got a chance of going to heaven. If you stay away from Jesus, you got no chance of going to heaven, but a good chance of going to hell. So then the question becomes, how can I better my position? How can I better my chances of getting to heaven if you've so chosen to go to heaven? Well, you can come to Jesus Christ, and you come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. But if you have already done that in somewhere, you walked astray. And I just want to say a word or two on that. Christians walk astray. Since I've become a Christian, I'm never going to go astray anymore. That's a fallacy. You can and you Christians do go astray. But the good part about it is Christ will be there for you to bring you back to forgiveness if you just ask Him. Ask the Lord to forgive you. Ask the church to pray for you. Now, I know that there are folk who don't like to come forward. They don't like to come forward and say, I'm asking the church to pray for me. Some of us, and I say this with no malice and no forethought, some of us are ashamed of people praying for us. Now, you might say, no, I'm not. Well, if you need prayer and you don't ask for it, what is that? That means you, A, either you are ashamed, or B, you don't believe in prayer. Which one is it? Of whom shall I go to? Where are the words of life? Are with Jesus Christ? If this is your desire, as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.